You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Over the weekend, I was in Taranaki for this year's commemorations of New Zealand's land wars. This year, it was being held in Waitara at Ōwai Marae, my mum's marae. Te Pūtake o Te Riri, He Rā Mau Mahara, as it has been named, is a commemoration event to mark the series of wars that took place between iwi Māori and the Crown and settlers who were then arriving in large numbers to Aotearoa with the promise of land. Land that had been acquired illegally or through force. These wars took place after the signing of Te Tiriti o Waitangi, so after a commitment had been made, a treaty signed between two peoples that acknowledged the rights of Māori to their rangatiratanga, their full sovereignty and chieftainship over their taonga, from their land to their language and tikanga, after even in 1835 the Declaration of Independence was recognised. The wars that were fought derived from the dispossession of land. In fact, the location for this year's commemoration, Waitara Taranaki, was where the very first shots rang out at the beginning of what was to be a decades-long war that continued in Taranaki but also spread throughout the country. It was Māori resistance and resilience to the removal of their land which saw them enter these wars. Wars which ended in the confiscation of that land anyway, for reasons given by the Crown that named Māori as rebels, simply for protecting and defending what was their home, their whakapapa right. 1.2 million acres was confiscated by the Crown.
Epic struggle for control of Taranaki, Waitara was the flashpoint. Waitara was the prize. Settlers wanted it, as much as Māori were determined to keep it. In 1860, Waitara was the spark that ignited conflict that raged through the entire province for the next 20 years. For Māori, it ended much as it began, with the ransacking of their lands and mana, the bitter cost of daring to defend themselves against what essentially was a home invasion.
What you can hear is the beginning of a documentary that premiered during the commemorations. Directed by Mahanga Pihama, executive produced by Annabelle Lee Mather, and presented by Mihingarangi Forbes. It is the second edition of the New Zealand Wars series, and you can find it on RNZ. This one is the stories of Waitara. I play it here to acknowledge the waiata being sung, the drum beat played, and the poi being swung by kuia and kaumātua of Taranaki whānui, a means through which to tell their stories. We will hear more from Director Mahanga soon, but firstly, back to the commemorations. Te Pūtake o Te Riri, then, is named for the origins of the historical trauma and the effects of colonisation that remain today in the descendants of those ancestors who fought in these wars. Pūtake meaning the root of something, the ancestor or the cause, the reason, the origin. Riri meaning anger, rage, wrath, battle, violence and aggression. Te Pūtake o Te Riri, the origins of the anger. And we heard that on Monday as part of the pōwhiri for the event.
Yeah!
there had been hope leading up to this event that the government might announce an official day recognising the New Zealand Land Wars, a public holiday as a way for the whole country to acknowledge what had happened, a chance to discuss the origins of the effects of dispossession that still exist today. Hō mai te rā, people have been saying for years now, give us the day. The government visited the marae for the event, but there was no announcement. Instead, there was a focus on learning history in schools.
Aotearoa's story that just hasn't been told nearly as much as it should, and I hope part of what will be a very different future where that history is widely told.
There's lots of calls today. What all would you like for a National Day of Significance? What do you think?
I think the most important thing that we can do to commemorate the New Zealand Wars is make sure they're taught in our schools. Days of commemoration, yes, are important, but it doesn't mean that we build understanding just through a single day anywhere. Putting the teaching of New Zealand history into our schools, into our education system, for all our young people to learn, I think that is the most significant and important thing that we can do going forward.
Although, then we are saying that it's significant that the country stops and remembers those people.
Yeah.
So is it a possibility?
Well, and on this day, I hope that we do stop and we do remember. But stopping and remembering actually requires us to also have that shared understanding and knowledge of what happened during that conflict. At the moment, I think we have more work there to do. No one thing is going to bring us together as a nation on its own. There's much more that we need to do.
There was further discussion about this on a panel later that evening, and the idea that government does in fact have the power to do both, teach New Zealand history in schools, as well as have an official day. But back to the afternoon. The day continued. Speakers acknowledged the event, the organisers, and acknowledged where we were.
I join Te Aotearoa with Manukōri, with the Hapuan communities, at this historic location, O Waitara Nui o Ngarue. We welcome you to the river of Waitara, to the lands of Waitara. This is Waitara, te tangata. We welcome you here with the Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, nau mai, ka puti tonu ana, to the members of Cabinet, to members of Parliament. We ask you to look upon these lands, to look upon these people and see Waitara for what Waitara truly is. And I would also like to reference the trustees of Owai Marae and acknowledge them because of the amount of work it took to make this day happen.
Dr. Ruakere Hond of Taranaki and Te Aotearoa welcomed the crowds to the next formal parts of the commemoration. He explains the way in which people of Taranaki have never stopped commemorating or recognising these events.
Within the poi that we sing, we continue to recognise Waitara. I te rā o mai he, kā iri kei te torona. Koe anei, o te torona, o te krauna, I eke ki runga I te torona, o te paipera. The throne of the crown of England was put above the crown, the throne that was referenced within the Bible. And the waiata was adapted and adopted by Te Koti Arikirangi Te Turuki. In Pariaka, every month, for the last 157 years, on the 18th and 19th, we recognise Tohu e Te Whiti on the 18th and 19th because that is a reference to the 17th of March. Pariaka continues to hold to the view that we recognise the days on the day after rather than the day itself to keep that day tapu. For us in Taranaki, all roads lead to Waitara. And it is fitting that Pūtake o Te Riri, the roads lead here today. To begin with, we considered including all of Taranaki in this. All of Taranaki included South Taranaki in the wars that were fought by Tito Wawaru. All of Taranaki also included the stand of Tohu e Te Whiti using non-violent resistance against the Crown. But we quickly realised that this hopscotch of 150 kilometres from here in Waitara down to Te Mutu o Te Manu, then on to Aotearoa, and then on to Taiporo Henui was too great a challenge for even us to comprehend how we would be able to share an accurate portrayal of our history. So it is fitting that we come here and focus on Waitara. The first Taranaki War began, as has been said already, on the 17th of March in 1860. A year later, it concluded. And Governor Gray was on the verge of acknowledging that the forced purchase of Waitara, of Peka Peka, the 600 acres, was wrong and was going to hand the land back. However, just prior to that, the Crown found it in its heart, perhaps, to force Taranaki off disputed lands of Totoraimaka. We are able to say that in 1863, the Act, the New Zealand Loans Act, was passed, and it was used as the finance to wage war against Māori, to put settlers onto the land that was taken, and to do other public works. The collateral they used for that loan of £3 million was the lands of Taranaki and the lands of Waikato. We also know that they passed the law, the New Zealand Settlements Act, that put into place that anyone that the Crown deemed as being a rebel, their lands would be confiscated.
The telling of history continued and was added to by Calvin Day, manager of Pukeariki, Taranaki's museum.
In early 1860, surveyors moved onto the Peka Peka block, where they were met with an unarmed party of Kiwi supporters, mainly women, who among other things pulled up the survey pegs. Martial law was proclaimed, to which Kiwi responded by constructing Te Kohia Park on the southwestern corner of the block. This was attacked by British forces on the 17th of March, announcing the commencement of the Taranaki Wars. Naturally, losses and casualties were experienced on both sides. The military actively sought to destroy the Maori economic base. Kāinga, crops, flour mills, implements and cattle were all destroyed or stolen. Pākehā settlers had their homesteads burnt and their crops destroyed and cattle killed or taken. However, after the war, Pākehā could claim for their losses and receive compensation. No such opportunity existed for Māori.
Calvin went on to discuss the way in which the narrative has been told to favour the Crown's side of the story.
Following the 1881 invasion of Parihaka, I suggest non-Māori took the view that what started 21 years earlier in Waitara was now all done and dusted, and everyone could just get on with life. So began, I believe, a period of amnesia among the general Pākehā community, including my own ancestors, regarding these events. Clearly they felt the need, they didn't feel the need or desire to remember. There were, however, within the Pākehā population of Taranaki, isolated examples of remembrance which reveal the one-sided attitudes and understandings of the time. A concrete monument was erected listing the names of the Pākehā casualties. Reading through the names is like doing a roll call of the roads of the district. The unavoidable conclusion was that this was a deliberate controlling of how the narrative of Te Nutua Te Manu was to be told. The Māori history, which effectively was a victory, was to be replaced by a Pākehā one, and of course the Pākehā one was actually one of loss. Now that the reserve has been returned to Ngā Ruahine, new opportunities exist of how that narrative can be told. Continuing this theme, several historians have noted that many of the battle sites and fortifications associated with the New Zealand wars have been damaged or destroyed. It is not unusual to find a road has been placed through such sites, or agricultural activity has removed any evidence of them. That we allow this to happen is extremely telling. Why do we not value our past?
It was also noted that when the region started to accumulate wealth through agriculture, there was a lack of recognition that the land used came from these unresolved conflicts.
If that was not bizarre enough, what happened next could not be a stronger indicator of the attitudes of the time. Rather than toasting with the usual alcoholic beverage, milk was used. Why? It was noted that the wealth of the province was based on the dairy industry, and as such, it was extremely appropriate to use milk. The participants clearly chose to ignore the fact that this wealth was created on land that had been confiscated from its original Maori owners. This clearly demonstrates the enormous lack of sensitivity of the effects and legacy of the confiscations and what the consequences of this were for Maori.
There was also the acknowledgement of the different methods to resist confiscation of land. Taranaki is known for peaceful resistance.
If we focus on Waitara, it is very easy to think the Pūtake o Te Riri is defined by the concept of cannon fire, of muskets and swords. But in actual fact, our tūpuna fought in many different ways. Our tūpuna fought with peace. Our tūpuna fought by standing and maintaining occupation of their lands in spite of the pressure that was placed on them. We know that those many different ways and forms of fighting against and resisting against the confiscation of lands were largely ignored.
These stories were elaborated on in the documentary that premiered next. Mahanga Pihama introduces it.
Te atiawa, Waitara ni hia na te akoto. Te rā te kōrero e me ana, e kore a muri e hokia. E nari tēnei wā kāre au e tautoko i tēnā kore. Mā muri e whakamahara i a tātau i ngā mahi, hoti tē te mahi. Mā muri e whakamahara i a tātau, ngā kare a roto, i pēhea ngā kare a roto. O tātou tūpuna, hei whakamahara i a tātau katoa i tēnei wātou. Tēnei o ngā tāua, tēnei o ngā whaki pūmeka, e tika ana te whakahukia mai ki tōna tūta.
Mahanga is talking about a saying that indicates we shouldn't go backwards, but he disagrees with that at this time. He believes by going back we will remember the things that happened. By going back we will remember how our ancestors felt as a way of releasing ourselves. Mahanga says it's right to return here with the gift of this story as a documentary to the origin of the story itself. It will be broadcast to those whose story it tells, and they will know it is their taonga, he says. I spoke to Mahanga afterward and asked what he wanted people to take away from watching this film.
So when people watch this documentary, the 44-minute documentary, it is, first of all, be open when you watch it. Don't make judgment right from the beginning, because these, from the title of the documentary, Stories of Waitara, they are stories of the people from Waitara, people from Te Atiawa. They are their stories. Who are we to judge their stories? They are their tūpuna. They are their ancestors. It's their land. It's all of their stories. So be very, very open, and it's not for us to judge anything. They are their stories. It doesn't matter who we are and what books we read and whoever tells us other stories. Coming to the place where the people are from, where the stories are from, I mean, you can't get any more true than that, any more, such beautiful natural stories from the people that have grown up knowing these stories, that have been told these stories from their grandparents, have walked the lands where these terrible things have happened, have smelt the air around these areas where their grandparents played it. You know, so it's be open, have a very, very open heart, and understand where these stories have come from and the hurt that still remains here today.
Because there's that sort of focus, or at least an acknowledgement, that these stories aren't actually in the history books, in quotation marks.
No.
So where are you, you know, and when you go about doing your research or that sort of process and getting these stories, how are you getting that, and how do we apply that way of thinking and that way of researching to how we're going to learn our New Zealand histories in schools, I guess?
Well, first of all, I'm not a doctorate, I'm not a professor in research, so if we're putting stories together, you go to the people whose stories they are. The people whose stories they are Te Atiawa, the people that live here, the people that have grown up. And it's not for me to question any of those stories. I'm a program maker, I make it. So in that kind of sense, if you put that, use that as an example for everywhere else and stories around the motu, it's their stories. And who are we to write things based on what we've been told from other people that just ask people, that just research, that just read, read old books that have been written by many historians? Like, why should I listen to those? Why should I listen to those stories when they have no connection whatsoever to these people? They have no connection, genealogy whatsoever to the people whose stories they are. They're talking about them. So I suppose using this as an example is go straight to the people that know these stories. Go straight to the people that have experienced them, that know them like it's the back of their hand.
How was it like going through learning these stories, or not really learning them, but making this program for you as somebody connected to
here? Oh, it was an emotional journey. It was, very, very emotional. A lot of the stories I'd known, but not in detail, like when I sat down with a lot of these people and just heard them. So a lot of mama, a lot of hurt, but also understanding that it is a journey, it is a long journey, and it will always remain there, the mama, the hurt, but looking at the future, they always spoke about that, looking at the future. So I think it was I was like a kid going to school, and this was my first year at school, and just sitting down and taking a history lesson, and that's what I mean. I love learning. So sitting down and learning something and then being taken on an emotional journey, speechless, yeah.
After having watched the film, there was a moment for people to rest before having a kai. I took the chance to speak to a couple of people about why they were there.
Ko ngā hui e Murphy tōku ingoa, no Ngāti Manawa, Ngāti Rua Paniki Waikare, Moana Tūhoe, Ngāti Kahungunu, Ngāti Rangitihi, Ngāti Marepotoa Hau.
Kia ora.
Gosh, that was a mouthful, wasn't it?
What brings you here today?
Well, my koraua, our koraua pei te kōtuku, his father was Ngāti Maniapotoa, his mum was Ngāti Hakapatu Hiuhiu. And he, when Weremu Kingi Te Rangitake took a stand, my koraua Peita came over with his Ngāti Maniapoto whānau to tautoko. So I've come to honour that stand and to support that spirit of solidarity and resistance against ongoing colonisation.
How's this day been for you?
Wonderful. Wonderful. So we took our koraua pei te kōtuku into the whare yesterday, bought his kawe mate, took him inside the whare tipuna, te karoa Māori, they did karakia and put him on the tuahu next to Weremu Kingi Te Rangitake and Rewi Maniapoto. So there he is, he's in the whare. He rawe. He rawe. Yeah. It's awesome to see all the rangatahi here. Heaps of rangatahi, eh?
There's been lots of like kōrero around, people have been throwing out 2040 a lot, but just the sort of the idea of ongoing conversation and what we want the future to look like, what we want future Aotearoa to look like. So what would that look like to you, or what do you think those conversations should be looking like?
We need to transform the constitution. We need constitutional change. We need to transform Te Tiriti o Waitangi and the Declaration of Independence need to be absolutely the central pillar of a new constitution in this country. Te Reo Māori should be compulsory in schools already. I'm glad that history is finally going to be taught, and I hope that it's an opportunity for us to really have our voices heard. So we've been, Pākehā have been here for 200 years, we know everything about them, they don't know anything about us. So, yeah. Hopefully 2040 there'll be a balance of power, because it's Māori and other Indigenous peoples in the world that hold the solutions to the issues that we face, that colonisation and a capitalist regime has created. Yeah, so now's the time for us and our knowledges and philosophies to lead the way in terms of the transformation that needs to take place in our civilization if we want to survive. Yeah. Good art.
Oh, kia ora. Yeah, I'm here as part of a network called Tauiwi Mō Matiki Mai Aotearoa. So that's a group of non-Māori working in solidarity with Māori for constitutional transformation. So we're here because we see the New Zealand wars as the most fundamental breach of Te Tiriti, where the Crown betrayed its promises through its violent imposition of itself as absolute sovereignty. So yeah, we're here to just reflect on that and to look to how that can actually be addressed. Yeah, kia ora.
And then I found Ruakere and asked him how he thought the day had gone.
Today's been special, not only because of the planning and that, but really around the way in which different iwi have come along and been a part of today. You really get a sense that Pūtake o Te Riri isn't just a one-off thing. This is something that has gained momentum among iwi and within the government, and so they are definitely looking forward to what can be done, what are those next steps, and I think that's really where we have to challenge ourselves to come up with really good next steps rather than just the most logical, the most obvious thing to do next. And there's some really good things being spoken about so far. The idea that we can encourage each iwi to develop heritage trails and provide the right type of resources to our schools so that these local stories that are largely hidden, it's easy to do the body count and the battles, this battle happened and this battle happened, but what about all of the activities that people did that weren't part of those? I think all of these sort of ideas need to be put together, and then certainly for us in Taranaki, we need to sit down and plan out, well, what are those next steps?
What does that look like in terms of, there's been a lot of talk today, right, about, you know, looking forward, especially 2040 is being talked about, having these conversations and making sure that we envision something, you know, better for Aotearoa, I suppose. So how does that actually happen? What are you hoping that the government does as part of that?
Well, I think it's great that 2040 has been put forward. Obviously, as a 200-year anniversary of the signing of the Treaty of Waitangi, it is a significant date to work towards. But it's really about saying, well, what is it that we're actually working towards with that? We've always said, well, certainly from a Parioka perspective, is that there's too much focus on the wars and the conflicts and the dead. We need to bring balance between tū and rongo. And so if we can work towards moving from Pūtake o te riri into Pūtake o te maungaro, what does peace look in today's times? And I think a couple of people made the point, and I think it was a valid point, that you go from a point of conflict to then finding peace and then reconciliation. And once you get past reconciliation, reconciling those differences, and that relies on shared awareness and raising, so we have balance in our levels of awareness, well, then we can have true relationships. We can have discussions where we're not talking past each other. And so I think we can start to see this as a progression. We've been through the wars. We don't need to go back there. Certainly no one's ever advocated that. But the idea of reconciliation is now coming to the fore. And reconciliation is a difficult thing to do, given there's been so much that has happened over the years. So finding some common ground in amongst all of that, and knowing what we're able to do, what we're capable of doing, and what we aspire to do, it's the challenge.
Kia ora. And in terms of talking about rongo, I suppose, and that space that we want to get into, how is it that we make sure that the iwi, you know, of each rohe are the ones that are defining what that rongo looks like?
Well, it's partly about having those conversations. I think for so long we've been so caught up with settlements. Settlements is about saying, this is ours, we want this back, we want this. And it's about really what we want, you know, just based on a grievance, based on what was taken. But and I said it in this morning, is the idea that rather than using the grievance and what bad happened as our starting point, what we actually have to say is go before. What was there before the grievance? What were those plans and those aspirations? And that's what will lead us forward. And largely, that hasn't been spoken about much. And I think once iwi, once communities, once hapu start having those sorts of conversation, I believe we'll be in a much better position to come on something that's lasting, enduring peace, enduring reconciliation, enduring shared relationships.
Finally, I spoke with Wharehoka Wano, brother of Te Kauhoe Wano, whose sons I went to school with, who had taken me on my first trip to Parihaka as a school kid, within a school whānau committed to Te Reti o Waitangi and these stories as an integral part of our education. I asked him how the organisation of this event came about.
So our tuakana Ruakere Honden, Hwani, Eriwata and a few others went up to the Pūtake o Te Reti commemorations in the north last year at Ruapekapeka. So they put a tono down, or asked to put a tono down on behalf of Taranaki to bring it back here. So we've sort of had that year, and as you do with these things, you put together a working group, and then we've spent pretty much the year regular meetings, lots of discussions, because there's a lot of sites that we could have acknowledged right around the Maunga that were impacted on by the land wars, but we ended up deciding that this is where they sort of started, not only for us in Taranaki or the Taranaki tribes, but also in across the motu in terms of the land wars.
What about that porphyry? Have you guys been having practice?
Yeah, we have as a local group. We've been spending probably about 6 weeks just because we learnt a whole lot of appropriate chants, ngiri, that were appropriate to this occasion. So there was a bit of a new body to learn for a lot of our home group. And we set that out, as you do, across the social media, so that the other groups from around the motu could. So there's a number of Mau Paiaha groups that came from around the motu, about eight of them, and from the north and from the eastern Bay of Plenty, and Waikato. So they prepared themselves, but they also had their own haka. And they did six or seven haka this morning that all represented different commemorations across different sites in the Bay of Plenty and Waikato and up north. And so they'll add another haka, I presume, about this one.
So in terms of, lots of people have been talking about these conversations that need to be had in terms of the future, I suppose, of Aotearoa and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how do you think this has gone in terms of having those conversations, or for the next step, like you say, next year?
It's reminding ourselves that the Māori narrative on the land wars has been totally silent. That the language we use is part of that silence. I mean, even when people talk about confiscation, really, it's another word for stealing land. You know, that's how I see it. I don't feel like our land was confiscated. I feel like it was stolen. So, you know, you the power of words and the power of how we tell a story, and then how you relate that to what's happening in our schools in terms of education. I mean, we've got some challenges in tribally, because a lot of our own people don't know the real tribal stories because they're not engaged on the marae like we were a generation or two ago. So, you know, while we're wanting to educate non-Māori, we're also having to educate ourselves. So, you know, when I talk about being honest, you know, tell the story as it was, you know, all the blood and guts and the truth. You know, don't sort of turn it into this language of not telling it actually how it was. So that's our challenge. You know, occasions like this are great, and you know, I think it will heighten awareness for a lot of people. But there's probably a lot of people here that have been here today that already are ready to take this sort of journey and understand more, particularly the Pākehā population that have come in today. But it's the ones that aren't here, and the ones that, you know, you're just never going to change. That's where the real barrier is. So maybe radio stations like yours can help us
We're working on it. Well, that's the thing, right? It's in terms of actually, okay, so how do we take these conversations then out further, and whose role is that really?
Well, you know, it's all of our role. Of course, we're going to want to play our part, and we're going to want to make sure that the right people are telling our story. But that's a challenge too, because there's you know, we've got different versions even on our stories. Mm. But you know, when you're just talking about history in a real generic sense, that's what schools can do, is to say, you know, the Crown used the laws under its power to take our land. You know, just as simple as that, and building a curriculum around that basis rather than, we sort of touch on it lightly, but we don't go and, you know, right from the start, we're sort of very, we're almost afraid to tell it. I loved history at school personally, and I loved learning about the origins of wars, of World War One, as we did in fifth form history when school C in my day. And I know exactly how that First World War One began and why. And then the irony is we get told that when we talk about our land history, we get told, oh, don't look back. You know, well, why, you got to keep moving forward. And I'm learning this history from other countries around the world, but I can't learn my own history. And that's the confusion for Māori that are at school, mainstream schools that are lacking identity anyway, and they're not getting access because their families are removed. So it's a big one, but you know, there's just a desire to have honest conversations, whether it's in the home or within the community. Our civic leaders, were here today. The government leaders were here today. You know, they've got a role to provide resource to support those conversations.
With those words, I entered the whare Te Ikaroa a Māui on Ōwai Marae to listen to the live panel which my mum was going to be on, into a space where I am lucky enough to understand a little bit as somebody of Pākehā descent, because I had access to some of that knowledge growing up, a space that has maintained its tino rangatiratanga despite constant denial of that, which was agreed to in Te Tiriti o Waitangi. Denial of any recognition by the Crown as to the true role of tangata whenua in this country. So I ask myself, and I ask you, what will 2040 look like to you? And how are you going to make that happen?
Whakaarangia tēnei a waitara ki te apōpō i kōraruhia i roto i te whare. I te mea ko te apōpō karereke, e tautoko ana u te kōraro a Jacinda. Our Premier said in the House that by the 200-year anniversary of Te Tiriti o Waitangi, what will our relationships be like? The relationships of Waitara should be based on a relationship based on trust, and Māori and Pākehā being here working together.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. Support 95 BFM with a B-card. Go to 95bfm.com/signup.